Good morning and welcome, especially to those who are visiting as well. And maybe at this point I should say Merry Christmas as well, and a Merry Christmas to each other. Feel free to say that. So a warm welcome to you all as we gather together. This morning we've got a few of the kids who are going to come up and lead us off with some songs in a moment. So we're really thankful to them, to Laurie for putting that together, and then after they have sung, we will open up with our praise as well to God's glory. Let me just read a few verses to set our tone for what we're doing this morning, pray, and then we'll have a couple of announcements and then the lighting of the candles as well this morning. God's word brings us back to what's happened in the past so that our present can intersect with the reality, the events of the past. And that's the beauty of what we're trying to do at this time of the year, to bring us close to that moment of the utter glory of the incarnation. And we're going to read later in the service from Luke chapter 2, but just after part of our reading finishes, we hear of the angelic choruses that just filled heaven and the earth with the praise and the wonder of God. And it tells us there in Luke 2, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. It's in that declaration of peace to humanity that we worship today, that despite all the brokenness of this world, we have a message that has resounded for 2,000 years that still brings peace to the heart of men, women, and children who trust in this Christ who was born. So let's pray and ask that we will meet with him right now this morning. Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord of glory, Lord of all, receive our worship and our praise and our joy as we celebrate your birth, your coming, the very giving of God to us, of his only begotten. It marvels, it stuns, it causes wonder to think that God became one of us in order that we might have that way open back to the Father. Lord Jesus, receive our worship, receive our adoration, and every hindrance that still lies in our heart that the word calls sin, that you would forgive, that you would remove, that you would cleanse, and that you would renew us so that the very joy of heaven might touch our hearts and souls this morning as we rejoice in the wonder of who was born, who was given, and why he came. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for the abundant generosity of God in giving Christ. Hear us, we pray. Bless all that we do today, and we ask all for the glory of Jesus. Amen. Just to say for our notices, there's no youth group tonight, obviously, with being Christmas Eve. There's no Wednesday prayer on Wednesday night. That will not be on this week because of the vacation as well. And actually, there's no hope-filled kids today as well. The younger ones, I think, are staying in for the whole service. Is that correct? It is, yeah. So those are all the details for that. Oh, you have a special announcement. Oh, I get worried when you do special announcements without warning me.
I just, on behalf of the church, we want to thank you and your family for just doing an amazing job. We love you, and here's a Christmas present.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. So Santa's come early. Thank you very much. Okay. Let's use this moment now to just remind ourselves of the sense of expectation, of hope, and of wonder. We actually, this morning, light two candles because Christmas Eve is falling on the fourth Sunday of Advent. So I'm going to ask the Sarver family to come up if we've got a microphone for them to use. So if the Sarver family would come and join us up here to light the two candles, including the central one, which is the Christ candle, to remember what's happened today. And it's great to see the extended family as well. Glad you made it, folks. Or are they? Okay, are they just coming in?
Yes.
Where are you? Well,
not
I see what you mean. Yeah, that's fine. You're just far away.
This morning's reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Amen.
No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and every day. We pray that this day and each day, this holiday season, reminds us of the love that you have for us. Help us to see how deep your love is as we celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. To remember that your plan, since the beginning of time, you have provided the world a way in which we might receive everlasting life with you in heaven. Beginning with the birth of your Son, may we remember this love and share it with our family, our friends, and the world. We thank you, Lord, for this atoning gift. We pray for peace, for forgiveness, for blessings, and for mercy. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask for our children to come up and to sing, and then we'll also sing as a congregation. So, Laurie, thank you for just working so hard with them, and it's been great to see and hear them practice. But if all of our young ones can come up.
It's just one.
Just one song?
Just one song.
One song. And where did this mic come from? Does it go over here?
Baby. In our next song, please stay seated. We're going to sing Go Tell It, but you're going to sit and tell it. Okay? Please stand. Please stand with us and sing.
Take a seat for a moment as we read God's word before we sing a couple of more songs to his praise. Let me read today from Luke chapter 2. If you've got your Bibles, please turn there. I'm going to take this chapter in two sections. The first section is very obvious why we're reading it today. And then we'll actually later on look at the second section of this chapter. Luke was a Greek doctor. He's a real historian, as the research has been done and many of the details that he gives in his account of the life of Christ, it's been constantly and consistently found to be so accurate. And as we'll see at the end of this chapter, he clearly spoke to the eyewitnesses and he must have spoken to Mary, the mother of Christ herself, to get this story that he records for us. Luke chapter 2 from verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David. because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger." Amazing. And then we jump forward, maybe 12 years in the same chapter, and we read of the only occurrence of a story of Christ's life as a child, a young boy, age of 12. And it's also the first words that Luke records us for us of Jesus speaking. So from verse 41, we're in Jerusalem, it's a festival, and we read of this event. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. The reason they may have been unaware of it was because often the women would travel together, talking and chatting, and the men would travel together, talking and chatting. And then that whole day of talking and chatting, one group thought that Jesus was perhaps with the other group. It's as simple as that. And they missed him until the evening came. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. So it's another day, going all the way back. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking their questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Amen. This is the word of our God. This is the glory of our Savior and the Lord Jesus. Let's just take a moment to pray. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you now through your word, we ask that the Spirit of Christ will fill all that we do with the very presence of Jesus. Lord, we're conscious of the blessings that you bring us, that we've seen it to another end of another year, that we're now on the frontier of another year. And Lord, as the people looked forward to your first coming, we are asked in your word, commanded, that the path of wisdom is to look forward to your return. For the knowledge of that fact can illuminate and craft and mold every action, every thought, every decision that we can make in this life to make us wiser, more God-focused. And so thank you, Lord, for your willingness to guide and direct our steps. And we pray that you would for each and every one, from the youngest here to the oldest. And Lord Jesus, for the parts of this world that are entering into a new year with great trepidation, we pray that the reality of who you are would touch literally hundreds and thousands of souls. Even over today and tomorrow, as multitudes will pause and think about these events, that your Spirit would work so deeply that they would hear that individual call between their soul and who you are today. That we would hear that call this morning, and that we would respond in love, trust, and devotion to who you are. Bless all that we are and all that we're about. Bless us over this week of family and festivity. We pray that you would be at the very center of it all. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. We're going to take up our collection at this point as we continue to worship the Lord, and then we're going to join together in a couple of songs. And as I said, after those songs, there'll be no hope-filled kids today, so the young ones, if you can stay in with us, and pray that the Lord will speak to you as well this morning. So let's take our collection.
Please stand. Thank you.
joy and peace for the weary heart. Lift up your heads, for your King has come. Sing, for the light overwhelms the dark. Glory shining for all to see. Hope for life, let the gospel ring. God has made a way, He will have the praise. Tell the world His name is Jesus. Glory shining for all to see. Hope alive, let the gospel.
Emmanuel is God with us, and our God who came to earth, whom we celebrate this Christmas, is King of Kings. He did not remain a cute little swaddled baby. He grew to be the King of Kings, one to be revered and one to be adored.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. To reveal the kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. Stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, of all who come to the Father are restored, and the Church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not dim, shall not fade. By His blood and in His name, in His freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Father God, we do praise you, and we are so thrilled that as your children, we can forever praise the King of Kings. As a baby, you came in such humility with the absolute intent to die for the sins of those in this world, and we are indebted to you. We ought to be in awe. We ought to just revere you day to day, just so grateful and thankful. And we thank you that this day is a reminder of that. As your servant comes to speak the word to us, we ask that our hearts and our ears would be receptive to what you are telling us, and that we would be moved, Lord God, to act in response to the words from Scripture. In the very precious name of Jesus, this beautiful Christmas Eve day, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Okay. Well, friends, please turn to Luke chapter 2, and particularly the end of that chapter. I don't know if you look much at the Christmas adverts at this time of the year for the different shops that are out there. In Britain, it's a real tradition that some of the big chains, I don't know if you'll know them, like Marks and Spencers and things like that, will always put a Christmas advert to catch people's attention. And some of them are very good. I had to check them out this year since I'm not over there, but you can Google everything these days. And there's such a comparison between, I think it was M&S, Marks and Spencers, which was showing a picture of Christmas. It was just so rotten with money and excess and partying and selfishness and all the rest of it, and it contrasted with some of the other ones, which were all about family and togetherness and much more wholesome kinds of themes. But in all of the ones that I watched, somebody was missing in all of these adverts. Can you guess who? And isn't it a funny thought that maybe Jesus has got something to do with Christmas? Apparently. And yet, it's very easy to miss Jesus at the festival, isn't it? It's so easy, in fact, that even his mom and his earthly dad, Joseph, missed Jesus at a festival as well when they were up at Jerusalem, for it's called the Passover feast. And I want to look at that event with you so that we take to heart this call from God's heart right now to each one of us. He's saying to you and to me at this festival that we celebrate, don't miss Jesus from this festival. Amen? Otherwise, we really, really are going to be shortchanged this Christmas. When you look at this, the only event that we have recorded of Jesus' childhood, several things coalesce together that you don't want to miss. And they're all about his identity. He's in his Father's house. And if he's got God as his Father, what does that make him? Son of God. And yet familiarity with Jesus can easily mean that you miss him at the festival. And if that is what happens, then you'll fail to experience the wonder of some people who did meet Jesus at that festival. It's a wonder that you can experience this festival if you will meet Jesus Christ. Simple as that. Let's look at his identity. Here's the family. We're told every year they went up to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. It's when a lamb was slaughtered. His blood was marked on the door, reminding Israel of their greatest moment of deliverance. The story of Egypt, slavery, the Prince of Egypt. Some of the young ones will have seen that movie. And how under the protection of that blood, a whole people would be safe from the touch of death. And an event like that is still celebrated 2,000 years on after this one because it was so powerful. And Jesus' family were there. And it tells us, though, that Jesus stayed longer at the festival. In fact, the way that the verse is written in the original language by Dr. Luke, he is really emphasizing those words, the boy Jesus stayed behind. He's putting it right at the end of the sentence, even though we don't quite see that in English, to make the point, this is important, Jesus stayed behind. Why did he stay behind? Because it was that festival, I think. Because there was something so powerful in that festival. As this young boy was growing into a man, hitting the age of 12, his bar mitzvah coming up, can you imagine what might have been going through his mind as he was beginning to make connections with his sense of who he was? And what was happening around him with lambs being slaughtered and stories of deliverance. And he's wanting to really understand because there's something that's growing inside his understanding and he's making connections. And maybe it was after this festival. We're speculating, but it's very likely after this moment of this huge Q&A with the elders in the temple, he's beginning to realize that for him, the festival would never end. That he was the festival. That he would be that lamb. And that his death would set a world free from death. And could bring any stranger into the Father's home. At some point, that all had to begin to click for Jesus. This may have been his 12th visit to the Passover, because his parents seemed to go every year. We don't know how many times he went, but it's possible it was 12. Each year, looking at the details of the feast, each year looking at the lambs that were slaughtered, each year hearing the story, each year all the scriptures that were saying a Messiah is coming who would be a Savior, who would deliver people from even death. And each year, as Luke tells us, Jesus grew in wisdom and understanding. That's important. Verse 52, you've got it there. I think it was also elsewhere in this same chapter. Twice he mentions it in chapter 2. Sometimes we have the impression that the baby Jesus was born with the full knowledge of everything that ever happened in the world. For some of the younger folks here, you've just gone through your exams and tests in school, and you've maybe went through one of life's great mysteries called calculus. I hope you survived the experience. I know I didn't. And you might be tempted to think that, well, Jesus, special, Jesus, God, oh, Jesus, baby, he knew calculus. That would be really handy for your exams, wouldn't it? I want to challenge you. I say, I don't think Jesus understood calculus. I don't think he had a clue about calculus. And lots of other things. That's why it says here, he grew in wisdom and understanding. Tells us later on, when he was asked as an adult, when are you coming back? And he says, I don't know. There were things that he did not know. Because though Jesus is declared to be God in the flesh, he is also equally declared to be human being, fully human. He had a human mind. He's one person. There's just one personality in that man. But two sides, two natures. God, divine, very human, born as a baby. And it was so important for our salvation that those two were there in the one person, and that he was, nonetheless, fully both. Not 50-50. It's 100% God, but also 100% human. Which meant he had to be like you and me. Because he was going to save you and me as a human being. And that means that he really did grow in his knowledge, his wisdom, his understanding. You see it at the end, even in growing in wisdom and stature and favor. All of these things were part and parcel of his humanity. There were things he had to learn. And as he was sitting with these elders in the temple, he had so many questions. As we'll see, it amazed them. And for you and for me today, it's so easy to wonder, well, what is my life going to be? But here's a young boy, he's only 12 years old. What am I going to do with my life? Why am I here? What is my purpose? I feel within me a seed of greatness. How is it going to work out? Have you ever felt like that? You ever wondered, is my life to be marked with greatness? I believe every life that's touched by God's light can do great things. Even if you're to live in the same village and live the simplest of life, there's still something incredibly great about that because it's connected to an eternity of wonder. And to be a human being and to be remade in the image and likeness of God is greatness. And too few realize that. But with that sense of greatness and wanting to be something and wondering what your life is and what how to make sense out of it all, that comes to all of us, but particularly when we're younger. And if you're going through those questions and you're trying to make sense out of your life, I want you to look at this Jesus. Because there's times when you're going through your life, you're saying, nobody gets me, nobody understands me. My parents don't get me. My friends don't maybe understand me. My teachers definitely don't get me. Whoever it is, and you just might feel that you're hardly able to understand life and why you're here, and nobody seems to understand you. And you've got questions. Well, the same person who's got the ultimate answers to those questions is the same person who also understands your need to ask those questions. Because he did it himself. This is a very human Jesus that you are being asked to put your trust and faith in today. And if you're thinking, what is my life marked out for? Will I do great things with my life? You could not walk with anybody better, who alone has the authority and the power to mark out every step of your life to do the things that God would have you do. And that's the Jesus that we have revealed here before us today. And when you follow him, who knows what adventure he'll take you on? He may not give you all the answers today or tomorrow, but he does have all those answers. And he has a plan and a purpose. He knows how important that is. He felt it when he was 12 years old. I need to know. I need to understand. And so he dug for those answers, the minds of those that might know those answers. And you should do the same. When you're young, take your answers to the church. Take your questions, rather, to the church so that you might find answers. Take your questions to God. Take your questions about suffering, pain, confusion about who and what you are. Take it all to him, because he understands. He knows how confusing life can be for us in this world. But that's part of the beauty of why we remember the incarnation. God incarnate in flesh. A very human 12-year-old boy was asking questions on that day. Do you get all the answers straight away? How many times had he been up to the Passover before this? We don't know. But he was getting some answers at least. But you do have to be patient when you are with Jesus. But he will give you those answers in his time, in his way. But the important thing that God is saying to you this morning is don't miss out on walking through your life with this Jesus. It's so easy to be involved with the festival and to miss the Jesus of the festival. So don't do that this year. And one of the reasons that you might do it is because of sheer familiarity. This is not the first Christmas for anybody here today, is it? We've gone through it all before so many times. And like Mary and Joseph, they had been many times. The tense in the Greek language is that they were repetitively, regularly going up to this festival every year, to the Passover. And so they're coming, but they miss Jesus on the way back, as I said during the reading, because whole communities tended to go on this long journey together. And as you often have at this time of the year when there's a party, the men gather together, the women gather together, chat in different circles. But the chatting was on a long journey. They're a day out of Jerusalem. It's nighttime after a day's travel. And they suddenly realize, he's not with you. He's not with me. He's not with you. I thought he was with you. And somebody's getting blamed by the other one. That happens, doesn't it? And so they then have to wait probably that night and then rush back, a whole day's journey back to Jerusalem, then probably another whole day running around Jerusalem. It's not very big. And eventually towards the end of that day, they find Jesus in the temple. You see, in some ways it was so shocking to them all that was happening here, because all they saw when they looked at Jesus was a boy. He's a 12-year-old kid. He was a good kid. No getting away from that. But that's all they saw. A cousin, a nephew, a grandchild. That's all the family saw. A son. And so their very familiarity with Jesus meant that they missed where he would actually be. You can't be lost if you're already home. And that's what he said to them. I'm in my dad's house. didn't you understand? But they couldn't, because they were so familiar with what they were seeing, with this Jesus that they'd looked after for 12 years, that they had forgotten something, hadn't they? That's why we read the beginning of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, at the beginning as well as the end, because what happened then, 12 years earlier? Mary, do you not remember the night with the angels, the shepherds, the visions, the angels appearing to you, telling you you'd become pregnant without ever having slept with Joseph? All of these things, and his birth, and everything that was said about him. Mary, don't you remember these things? That first Christmas. You see, if she had remembered those things, 12 years of familiarity hadn't maybe dulled the memory, she could have gone straight to the house where Jesus was, his father's house. But she'd forgotten maybe that this Jesus had a special connection with God. See, familiarity will do that for you, especially familiarity with Jesus. We've had him kicking around our culture for 2,000 years. This country was founded by people who had a profound faith in Jesus. You've been brought up in a church and in a family that is all about Jesus. But here's the danger. This festival, tomorrow, you could celebrate the whole festival, and your very familiarity with Jesus means that you totally miss the point. So what's that all about? Tomorrow, you could get some gifts. If you live for 100 years and you put a big pile up as high as that Christmas tree or higher of all the gifts you'd ever receive in your life for 100 years, how high might it be? And yet take them all and compare it to this one gift of what Jesus Christ can give to you. And there's no comparison. And yet, your very familiarity with Jesus right now might mean that you will miss that right now, or miss that tomorrow. And maybe your familiarity as a follower of Jesus means that tomorrow won't be about him. It'll be about the turkey. It'll be about the presents. It'll be about the Xbox and everything else that you're going to be doing. And you're going to miss the whole point of the day because you're obsessed with something rather than someone. And yet all that mountain of gifts is nothing compared to what God can do in your heart and soul right now and forever. And that's the beauty and the power of Christmas. Is your love growing, or has it grown cold for Christ? Then it's familiarity, maybe sin, that has led to that. Then let this festival be different. Let it be a festival when you deeply encounter in a fresh way who Christ is. And that will outweigh all the gifts of all the years that you'll ever live in this earth. And so Mary and Joseph had to have a bit of a wake-up call through this experience. It tells us that Mary kept this in her heart. She didn't understand it at the time, but she dwelt on it. It must have been a bit of a crisis. I mean, have you ever lost a child in Walmart? Even for a moment, the panic. Maybe it's happened to a few of the dads here. You've been given the special task of looking after the little one, and you just get sidetracked and have disappeared. That never happens in a play park, does it? And then the panic rises up. Where would you have looked in Jerusalem on that day? Would you run to the play park? To a friend's home? to somewhere, who would have gone to the temple to look for a 12-year-old kid? It took the whole day for them to realize, maybe, just maybe, he could be at the temple. Why would he be at the temple? I don't know, but he's Jesus, he's different. Okay, let's go to the temple. So they go to the temple. He says, yeah, I'm already home, he says. Why were you looking anywhere else? It was a crisis. It was a shock. And maybe it was like a bath of cold water for them, and they just had to waken up. And as they did, what did they see? Eventually, they would have begun to see who this Christ was with fresh eyes. Maybe in 2024, a crisis might come your way in life. And you might wonder, you might even get angry with God for the crisis. But look, there's lots of ways crisis can be blessed to us. But there might be one way. Maybe it will be God's way of giving you a wake-up call, so that you begin to see in a fresh way, or maybe for the first time, the splendor and the wonder of who Jesus Christ is and what he is willing to do in your life today. So don't miss Jesus at the festival. Don't. Instead, the festival should be filled with wonder because you're beginning to glimpse who you've got in front of you when you see and know this Jesus. The final part of the story takes you to these men who are the religious authorities of the day, really clever guys, really experienced, probably a lot of older guys. I'd love to speculate at this point that maybe there were some younger guys like Jesus, his own age, maybe guys a little bit older, who maybe 20-odd years later were still kicking around. Maybe you could have had a Caiaphas there or a Saul of Tarsus there. Who knows? It's wonderful to speculate that they may have even been there listening with the elders. And then this strange young boy from Nazareth who had the most amazing questions. In fact, his questions were so brilliant and the connections he was making were so amazing that the elders, by the end of the discussion, they turned it around and they were asking him questions. That is shocking. And they were amazed. Everybody was amazed, it tells us, of this Jesus. There was wonder caused as they were beginning to glimpse this is more than a normal kid. Utter amazement. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. So there's a real Q&A going on. Jesus had questions. Jesus is making connections. Jesus is really, that's the verge of manhood in the Jewish world of 12, beginning to think, what is it that my Father in heaven has asked me to do? I'm sure God gradually, as he matured, gave Jesus those answers and understanding of just exactly what was involved. And these old elders, can you imagine them? If you had a kid like this, a real genius, it would seem, a prodigy, you'd be going, who is he? Where did you come from, son? Nazareth. Oh, you're born in Nazareth. Oh, no, you weren't born in Nazareth. You're born in Bethlehem. Oh, but you live in Nazareth. Oh, got you now. Do I know your parents? I'm sure I know your great aunt. That's how we speak, isn't it? In a small culture like that, even more so, more intense. And yet, for the really clever ones, you've got, hang on, Bethlehem? Oh, I heard of Bethlehem, Nazareth. Connection between Nazareth, Bethlehem. These were scholars of their book, the Old Testament. Now, that book talked about Nazareth. It talked about Bethlehem. It talked about the Messiah in connection with these places. Could you imagine one of these old teachers going home that night, beginning to think, who on earth was that that I was speaking to for the whole day? How did he know that? How could he ask these things? He came from Nazareth, came from Bethlehem, and he began to do the processing and the thinking and the connections. And there was wonder and amazement. Let me share a song that was written by Michael Card. And he picked up this very thought of one of the old teachers in the temple that day who'd met the Jesus child. And this is how the song goes from the perspective of the old rabbi. He says, I am an old rabbi. Where's the child who was here only yesterday? How my heart started to beat as I sat at his feet for the things he'd say. The questions I asked him had weighed on my mind in eternity. But the self-righteous show I had made my disguise, it started to slip as I looked in his eyes. So rather than stay for my pride's sake, I walked away. Then the chorus. Come, listen a while to the voice of a child. Stand in awe of the wisdom of God. Hear what he has to say, for the time is today. You can come or just walk away. And then the old rabbi meditates again in the song and says, then late in the night I woke to a voice deep inside of me. It was gentle and mild like the voice of a child my mind's eye could see. It spoke of the promises made to my people through Abraham. And at once all the prophecy made sense to me. I'd studied them so long. Why couldn't I see? In one holy moment, I knew the Messiah was he. Beautiful speculation. Who knows if that happened for one of them? Well, I'll tell you this. I know it can happen for one of you right now. You can see who this Jesus is so much more easily than it was for the people then. And begin to discover who he really is, his identity as the Son of God, and what that means for you, that you can become a child of God, as Christ became the Passover for God's people and sacrificed himself so that the angel of death will pass over you, and that you will be freed from the shadow of death, and that you will live in the Father's house for an eternity. And you're excited about the gifts you're getting tomorrow? Please, don't miss Jesus at the festival. Amen? See who he is. Let's pray. Oh, our Lord, we want to fall down, worship, adoration, joy unspeakable, peace flowing like a river, and love that's like a volcano burning in our hearts. Because of who you are, all that you have done, and all that you are doing, and all that you will do, that you are the greatest gift of all. There is nothing that can compare. And to think you're giving that gift as a gift, free. Freely we may receive you and the life that is in you, and the fatherhood of God that comes through you. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would save us today from missing you at this festival. We pray that every single one of us would close in with you right now in faith, in repentance, turning away from our blindness, our overfamiliarity, our ignorance, running after the outward things, rather than being consumed with the utter glory of who you are. If we can't see that now, Lord Jesus, would you open our eyes right now that we might see who you are and see what we are? We are sinners. We need you. But yet we can be forgiven. Be our Passover lamb. And bring us into the Father's house, that your Father will become our Father, forever and ever and evermore. Amen. Let it be so, Lord. Amen. Don't miss Jesus at the festival. Amen. The greatest gift you'll ever receive is before you now in Christ. Would it be Christmas Eve if we didn't finish with this song? I don't think so. Let's stand. Let's lift up our hearts. Let's be captured again with the wonder of that first Christmas. Let these words take you right back there. And let the moment speak to you of the glory of who Christ is. Amen. Lord, may these words never cease to amaze us. Christ was born. Mm-hmm. God became one of us. So, Lord Jesus Christ, we are in the festival. And we pray one thing, that we might truly see who you are and fall down in wonder and worship and love because of who you are and all that you've come to do. So would you give us a gift, a present right now, what your word calls a blessing. May your Holy Spirit speak these words over us now. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And the people of the Lord said, Amen. Please greet each other and say Merry Christmas.